for the sermon is holy Christian love. And so we're going to be looking on the love of God. Okay, so 1 John chapter 4, we're starting with verse 7 and continuing on to 21. And this is the word of God for us today. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this, the love of God, was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's the word of God for us this morning. If you would join me one more time in prayer before we continue on. Father, we just ask for your grace, and Lord, I ask for your grace and your Spirit to work within me. Lord, would you be the one who is on the pedestal today, that you would be exalted, that you would be the one who gives us truth. Lord, I pray that the word of God will speak for itself, that you would be the one who is honored and glorified. I do pray that we would grow in this love that you have for us here. Teach us what it means to love as we continue in our spiritual walks. And Lord, just free us from any sin and keep us, Lord, focused on your grace and on your love for us, Lord. So we thank you, God, in Jesus' name we pray. You know, love is such a prominent theme in Scripture, and we see it everywhere. And so many times, though, we talk about the love of God, and it's just thrown around so much in church that it kind of takes the back seat at times. You know, we talk about it so much, but sometimes we don't intentionally go deeper on this topic of love. So I want to begin by just simply stating what I love, and that is coffee. Is there any coffee drinkers here? Yeah? If you look under your seats, there's nothing under your seats. But I do think for us, you know, as younger folks and people of America, I think we enjoy coffee so often. I have three favorite drinks. I just want to share that with you. One is a venti iced coffee with vanilla. You can guess where that's from because I just said venti. Maybe? Yeah, that is Starbucks. I know some people have different thoughts on that. I'm sorry about that. But the second drink that I have is a dirty chai latte. And you're thinking, like, what is dirty about chai latte? You add a shot of espresso to a chai latte, which is, like, really good. So you have a coffee flavor plus the chai cinnamon flavor in the back as well. And third, this is one where you might not know as well. It's called the cortado. Yeah, it's actually one shot of espresso and steamed milk mixed in together. Less foam, so it's not as, like, foamy as a latte or a cappuccino. I love coffee. And oh, I wish I could love people as much as I love coffee. But you know what I mean. You can relate to what I'm saying here. Sometimes it's so hard to love others. And I think it's our natural inclination. We have our own tendencies and what we love more, and sometimes even more than people. But we see in Scripture today, you know, God is talking about love. And he's talking about love for others too. As I was preparing the sermon, I was thinking to myself, man, This passage can be so encouraging, but at times it can be so convicting and even discouraging, because a lot of times when you talk about love in sermons, you can feel disheartened because you think, oh, wait, I got to think about this person that I don't really love right now. Or I have this bickering that I have with this other person that's in my church. Or, you know what I mean? And so a lot of times we can have love become a topic of conviction. And I just wanted to share this one thing. 10 years ago, and this is crazy that I can say 10 years ago in ministry. 10 years ago in ministry, I feel really old saying that. But 10 years ago, I was doing youth ministry and college ministry. And at that time, I was right out of college, going right into seminary. And the thought was, oh man, I have to get everything right. You know, I have to give them the truth. And I was all about Reformed theology, and I still am totally for it. But I think it became such a thing to be right about these answers of Scripture that you neglect love. And I realized very soon after the couple years of ministry, I realized this church didn't need Bible-thumping truth. They needed love. And that what I mean by that is love and truth and love, that they come together. And so often, you know, I think we have the measuring stick of love or of truth being what measures our spiritual growth. To say this, the church and our church, every church needs more than just truth. It is truth and love and grace. So often, we want more theological goodness, or we study theology, but we can tend to grow cold. And by the way, I'm not minimizing truth whatsoever. I think truth is very important. But if we lose the essence of love within our truth, I think we have missed something very large in Scripture. 1 John 4:8 just says it, God is love. I mean, we cannot go away from this truth. Right. This truth is there. So a question for us today. How do you measure your spiritual growth? How are you personally measuring your spiritual growth? Because, you know, so often I think we do ask that question, am I growing spiritually? And today in our information day, in the sense of knowledge, we always think, you know, what kind of theology am I following? What kind of pastor am I following? Which big name out there do I follow? But what if that measurement is not based on knowledge, but actually based on loving others? What if our measuring stick needs to be about love? And here's what I mean to that. And I don't want to just, you know, say things. So if you guys look up here on the screen, first Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 11 says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. And I apologize, it's very small on the screen. But you see that he says the knowledge of his will. It's not just knowledge in itself, but he attaches with and of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Also in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of God. You know, grace and knowledge come together. Love and knowledge comes together. The temptation is to think that knowledge alone will give me spiritual well-being or maturity. And that is important, but true knowledge, and this is where I want to go with this section just real quick, true knowledge gives fruit to real love. True knowledge is always together in love. And brothers and sisters, to bring into light how important love is to God and for his people, as we see in 1 John chapter 4. So a question to ask now, why is loving others so central to God? Why does loving others matter to God? And of course, we can give the answers of, because the Bible says so, which is great, yes, absolutely. The other one is, because God deserves glory, and so he wants to reciprocate love to us and have that reciprocate to him. But let's just continue on and go deeper. And the first thing being this, God is the best and most ultimate lover. And that's so weird to say, God is a lover and he loves you and he loves us and he loves himself. And it all starts here. There's a central force in which why and how we love. And it begins with God. Again, verse 8 says, because God is love. If you thought Korean dramas were good at telling love stories, it's partially true, but God is better. If you thought the movie Notebook was good at telling a love story, or if you think Romeo and Juliet is good at telling a love story, true, but God is even greater. God is a greater lover than even these love stories that we know. The story of God's love far outweighs all these other stories that we know today. He is the author, he is the creator, the divine planner of this love story. He's created it all. God first loved us, and this is why we can love others. He is the primary, most excellent example of being a lover. God pursued us. God understood us. God gave grace and mercy to us even while we were his enemies. And then to show us his love, he gives us his son, Jesus Christ. This reveals so many amazing truths about God. God is love himself for himself, and it shows who he is. He is love himself, and his nature, his essence of love come naturally. And this is, I love talking about this because God's love is so natural to who he is. And just think about that thought today. What does God want to pour out on you today? Does he want to pour out wrath on you or make you feel guilty and shameful for your sins? Or does he want to pour out love? And the answer we see here in today's scripture is God wants to pour out love on you. And the wrath is given to his son, or has been given to his son. Check this quote out. It's going to be up here on the screen. That he hath loved us such as we are. And this was manifest the love of God towards us mortals, us ungrateful rebels. God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, which is Romans 5:8. Strange that God should love impure, vain, vile dust and ashes. And continuing on, that God loves us first and in the circumstances in which we lay. Herein is love, unusual, unprecedented love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. He loved us when we had no love for him. When we lay in our guilt, misery, and blood, when we were undeserving, ill-deserving, polluted, and unclean, and wanted to be washed from our sins in sacred blood. God loved us and met us while we were his enemies. God would love us when we were not like him, when we were filthy, when we were poor, when we had so many sins that were covering us. And God said, I'm going to love you even though I am totally different than you. And just to say this, just to take this moment to apply this, because if we don't apply this today, I think we're going to be missing something very huge. If there's anyone here, you know, caught in sin, you know, if there's any guilt or shame, God's wanting to pour out forgiveness. God is wanting to pour out his love, not wrath, because the wrath has been taken by Jesus. And just to reassure us, you are not evil enough to ward off God. You know, so often I think we get so consumed in our very own sin, but God says, no, I'm here to forgive and to love. God loved us while we were yet sinners. So, for the first point today, God is the best lover, the ultimate lover, and his love story is far greater than anyone else's. And God's love is shown to us through Jesus Christ. And that's point number two today. Christ, the propitiation, is love, which moves us to love. To give credit where it's due for this illustration, does anyone here know Dr. Steve Brown? Some of us, he's a radio kind of guy, and you can hear his deep voice, yeah. And, you know, some things he is here good, and some things, you know, other people say other things about. But this one example he gave us in seminary while doing a class, and he said this. Let's just imagine if God made you wear a stone tablet to church. Okay, and then on that stone tablet, while you're wearing it on your neck, you have your top three sins. Ugh. I know. So just think about that for a second. your top three sins being on a tablet. And again, this is just imagination. This is not for real.
Okay.
And please don't blurt it out. Three sins. Okay. And he said, you know, what would happen on a Sunday morning if that were true? You came in with that stone tablet. What would happen on Sunday morning? So you walk into service and you're coming out and you're just like, oh my gosh. Like everyone would say, oh no, don't look at that. We would all be in shame. And you know, this is a crazy thing. We won't be pointing fingers. We won't be saying, oh no, look at him, look at that. We would be too consumed trying to preserve our own. And, you know, I bring this up because those sins that we think about right now, those three things, whatever they are, you think, I'm so ashamed of that. But Christ even paid for those three sins, those top three sins in your life. And I hope this is applicable for us to say, hey, Christ has washed it all away. He has become the sacrifice, the propitiation. He embodied the sin that was on us. Christ being the sacrifice took on all the debt, all the wrath that was meant for us. Verses 9 and 10 reads, we read, and this is the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He became the bearer of our sins. And that's such a wonderful thought. We're no longer looked at as dirty, wretched, and poor, but now we are fully clothed in his righteousness. And this is why I just want to make sure of this. Christ is pivotal when in seeing God's love. God's love is seen through his son, Jesus. And so we must know Jesus in order to know God's love. And Jesus, who died on the cross, who has taken all of God's wrath, is there for us. And that leads us to point number three today. Becoming lovers of love, which is the assurance of divine fellowship. Lovers of his love means loving others because he loved others. You know, verses 11 and 12 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. It's so weird that John says we ought to love one another. And we just bolded that here on the screen, if you guys can see that. We ought to love one another. He's like saying it as if like, of course you love one another. And he also says it as if it's more of a command. And so that's something as well for us too. You know, why would he place that after these first verses of 7 and 8? He makes sure of this. If we go into the next slide here, he says, love is from God. Verses 7 to 10, it says, whoever has been born of God knows God. Sent his son into the world so that we might live through him. He loved us. You see, John doesn't say just love for the sake of doing something. He says, no. It is because of the love we know through Christ that we can love and we ought to love. There is a root that comes from it all. Now, I want to say something that might make us a little bit uncomfortable. I hope you're like, oh no, what is it? Okay. It's this thing right here. God's love is not perfect. Like, whoa, okay. No, what I mean is God's love is not perfect to himself. God's love is not perfect without you and I. We are part of his perfect love. And this is what I mean. His love is perfect in itself. The essence of love is perfect in itself because he is God. He is perfect. But when it comes to us and God, we are so included into his plan of loving others. You know, we cannot be taken out of that equation. It has to be that we are partaking in that truth. We are such an integral part of being perfected. And his love is perfected in and through us. And that's from verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And I just want to highlight that just for 1 second. You and I are such important pieces to God's love story. And if we neglect that call, we are not allowing the Lord to work in his love perfection. And so I think we see this call of loving others to be such a grand duty that comes from God himself. And that's the crazy thing. It's not that we muster it up on our own, but it comes from knowing God. The Christian love is the assurance of divine inhabitation. Christian love is the assurance of divine inhabitation. And I hope that's exciting. We have such a big role in loving people because that is how God is perfecting his love through us. So, just to make sure of this, I'm bringing it to a close here. A lot of times we hear these sermons and it can be discouraging, but I just want to make sure that this is the opposite, very opposite. Well, to start with this, you don't and cannot have enough love. You and I all don't have enough love. But when we trust and rely in the Spirit of God who is with us, we have more than enough because it is through God himself. If you're running dry on love, God has more of it. If you have a hard time loving someone in particular, God has more than enough love so that you can love that person. And just to give an example, particularly for our church, you know, I am the worship pastor here. And so one of the things that people ask me often is, hey, what's going on with the praise team? You know, what kind of music are you going to play? That's a question that's asked very often. And my answer for the praise team, as well as for everyone, is this. I think that we live in a tension of yes, but not yet. So we are perfected, but not completely yet. It's sanctification. We're growing in that process. And so when that talk about music comes in, I say this. You know, I think for the younger folks, we're learning to enjoy hymns that are older songs. And for the older folks, they have been gracious and they are willing to learn contemporary songs. So there's this tension. No one fully satisfied with all of the worship songs, right? Correct? And so just to say that, what if the idea of music and worship is a sense of tension? There is a beautiful tension of sacrifice and love for the others. And maybe it's not the perfect, you know, worship set for you in particular, but what if it is about learning to love each other in that worship set? So just trying to apply these things of love into our congregation even. We are here to love all people, all generational gaps, whatever it is. You know, and we're here for the sake of loving others in our church. And I think that's why it's such a beautiful thing to have this love tension that we have for each other. So brothers and sisters, I want to end with this challenge. Because Christ has brought the kingdom of God near to us, because he himself brought the Holy Spirit for us, we are able to grow in love, that we can lean on the love of God and not of our own. Verses 13 to 16 says, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of the Spirit. We're not left alone. And to say it this way too, the kingdom of God is active and well today with and through us because of the Spirit of God living and active through us. Jesus, the Spirit of God, is the answer to our love. And I'm just going to throw this quote out there. I'm sure many of you have seen this, probably like on like a wall or something like that in your house or something. Some of you might, I don't know. But it says, and this is from William Perkey, a professor and author. He says, you've got to dance like there's nobody watching. Love like you'll never be hurt. Sing like there's nobody listening. And live like it's heaven on earth. Now, I don't know what he means by that in particular, right? We could take that into mean whatever we want. But I think he's got something right. And that's the part about live like it's heaven on earth. Now, that could be taken differently too. But I want to take it this way, and this is where I want to bring home. God has brought heaven on earth, and it's in and through you and I, through the Spirit of God. And so we can live like it's heaven on earth here, and we can love others because of the immense love of God that we have through Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is here in the midst of us. And this last quote that comes from Matthew Henry, there is a strong perseverer within you, because greater is he that is in you than that he is in the world. Oh, than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God dwells in you, and the Spirit is more mighty than men of devils. It is a great happiness to be under the influence of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God dwells with us and in us. It's mightier than any scars we've ever gotten from people. It's stronger than any hate or bitterness. God's perfect love through the Spirit of God is enough for us. So why does loving others matter to God? Because God himself is love, and it was shown to us through the rugged cross of Jesus Christ. He became the propitiation for our sins, who gave us life, who gave us a part in this eternal love story, the best story ever, which is only perfected in and through his people as we continue and exist and exist in his love. Church, we have the Holy Spirit within us. That's great news. So let's live like it's heaven on earth. Let's pray together as we close. Heavenly Father, I know that this is a challenging message because so often, Lord, it can be very challenging to love. But Father, thank you so much for this good news that we are not left alone, that we have the Spirit of love, we have the Spirit of Christ within us, the Spirit of God within us, that you haven't abandoned us ever, but that you've given us so much more so that we can grow in spiritual maturity, to grow in love for others. And God, most importantly, to grow in our understanding and depth of love in you. And so Jesus, we thank you so much for your love that you showed us on that cross as you died and rose again. So Lord, we worship you and we thank you and we love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us even when we were vile enemies of God. So we thank you for coming to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.